Before we start the podcast, we have some breaking news. Emma Stone just announced that she had the Best Actress card in her hand the entire time Faye Dunaway pretended or claimed to have read the wrong card.
Yeah. So we already taped our podcast, and this is a last minute edition before we go to press, as it was. So yeah, we still don't know. Emma's saying, she's like, I don't want to start anything, but I had the card the whole time. So maybe they had two cards and that's how it happened. I don't know.
They had duplicate. There must have been duplicate cards, yeah. Or they might have intentionally given a wrong card to Faye Dunaway to see what would happen. Stay tuned, folks. The 89th Academy Awards began with a political message to the world, as host Jimmy Kimmel asked everyone watching to reach out to one person they disagree with and make America great again.
But it all ended with a shocking twist, as presenters Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty read the wrong envelope and announced La La Land instead of the real winner for the Best Picture, Moonlight. Today, we take a look at all the amazing moments of the 2017 Oscars you may have missed.
Plus, is Gary Allen Cole from Chicago the real Oscar winner?
Trump announces he will not be attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Muhammad Ali Jr., the son of the boxing legend Muhammad Ali, gets detained at the airport for his Arabic-sounding name.
And TLC's new reality show, Brother Husbands, takes a look at poly hipster Andre, having more than one hipster husband.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is La La Land.
No, this is Feast of Fun.
What? Let me see. Oh. Damn you, PricewaterhouseCooper!
Right now, you are listening to Feast of Fun because for the past 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth program. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and access all 13 years of amazing shows.
Mark and I are taping this podcast late at night, and we are a little giddy on the champagne.
Ooh, we've been having some fun. We're playing with the governor's balls.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fit this Oscar in places where the sun don't shine. My heart.
Aww. Oh. It'll fit. Yeah. We'll make it fit.
I'm so happy to be covering and going to the Oscars in the imagination of my mind. Mm-hmm. It really was like much more exciting than I realized it would be.
And I have to tell you, you look fabulous in your tuxedo.
Thank you. If wearing a blue velveteen tuxedo is a crime, then consider me guilty as charged.
Tuxedo.
And those pink ruffles really bring out your eyes, Mark.
Oh, why, thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
The dresses were all pretty spot on. You know, people don't wear crazy dresses anymore.
I know. What happened to the Tilda Swinsons of the fashion world?
Yeah.
Bring out your crazies.
Where's your garbage bag? Where's the swan dress? Best dress definitely though goes to Emma Stone and her Givenchy.
I was actually looking at that and I was like, I could see that on a runway on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like if I had to wear an Oscar ready look,
yeah, but
that would be me.
This fridge would be made out of licorice though, or something, some kind of crazy outfit.
Honey,
like
if it's on my body, it's got to be edible. And congratulations to La La Land for winning Best Picture.
Yay!
What?
Wait,
what
happened? Twist.
No, Faye Dunaway fucked it up.
She fucked it up. She read La La Land. Well, Warren Beatty just was like,
here so this is what happened.
They're both. Listen, it was 50 years ago that they had made the movie that they won Oscars for Bonnie and Clyde. These people are like 77 years old. Their vision's not that good. So he looks at this card. He's confused. He shows it
like,
to her.
What?
She sees is La La Land. You know, what are you going to do?
But so Warren Beatty took responsibility, even though it was Faye Dunaway who picked up the envelope, announced it to be La La Land.
Well,
he opened up and he was like a little confused, right?
He was confused, showed it to her for some kind of thing. And then she just goes, oh, you're taking so long. La La Land.
And then she realized she fucked up and ran off the stage.
No, she was.
She did. If you look at the video, she runs away. And so all the people from La La Land come up to the stage and they're like, oh, you would believe in a dream. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened with dreams.
Like, they're tied for like most Oscars that a picture had ever made.
Yeah.
So they, they lost that tie.
So they're standing there on stage and I guess they're getting a message. And I guess this is very similar to Steve Harvey with the beauty pageant,
yeah.
Miss Universe, right? Mm-hmm. And so they turn around, they're like, no, actually, we didn't win. Moonlight won. Come up to the stage. This Oscar belongs to you.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like turned my head for a second, so I don't know who the guy who was saying like, no, this is not a joke. Was he one of the guys from La La Land and he got to see the envelope? Is that right?
He's the main guy with the La La Land who was there, you know, making the speech. Mm-hmm. He had his speech ready. That, you know, La La Land was predicted to be the winner. You called it. I called it.
Well, we called it because, you know, Hollywood absolutely loves movies about movies, and that's what La La Land was. And so I figured for sure they were going to win. But there's also, you know, Moonlight's a great film, but they also have this diversity issue too. And I think, you know, last year's with the hashtag Oscars so white, they really said, you know what, we really need to open our eyes and see what's out there.
Well, I think President Trump opened their eyes for them to show the ugliness of bigotry. Mm. And so the people at the Academy Awards wanted to send a strong message to the world and to President Trump and President Bannon and, you know, the Republicans that, you know, diversity is very important to Hollywood, and that the world really looks at some of the best things that come of the United States is our films. Mm. And the world loves America because of our imagination and our diversity and our love for humanity, not because of our fear of it. Mm-hmm. Now, back to Faye Dunaway, Ian Bernardo, you know who Ian Bernardo is,
he was,
right?
Yeah, I met him in New York. He was on American Idol. He sang, Gloria, I think I've got your number.
So
it was a joke.
Ian Bernardo.
He's been on this podcast a couple times.
Is somebody who I think is hilarious.
He's a prankster.
He's always trying to rattle people's cages. And he's brilliant and extremely one of the funniest people I know. And he got on American Idol and just kind of, he's one of those, you know, kind of awkward contestants that auditioned. And had a chinchilla jacket and he threw it on Simon Cowell. It's like, you know, this just huge temper tantrum that everybody was talking about that year.
Yeah, people hated him.
And so you went to like a LGBT
Expo
summit
in New York, yeah.
And he was just standing around there.
He was hanging out and like, he wasn't wearing a chinchilla, but it was some kind of faux fur or something.
And you guys kind of hit it off, right?
Yeah. I was just like, aren't you on American Idol? He's like, yeah. I said, I would love to talk to you on the podcast sometime. He's like, all right, whatever.
So since then, we sort of became friends. And he's come on the podcast. Search Ian Bernardo. He's hilarious. It turns out that Ian Bernardo lives in the same building that Faye Dunaway lives in. Mm-hmm. And they shop in the same sort of supermarket that's attached to the building.
I feel she may have moved since. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like she no longer lives there.
And so I asked Ian, it's like, what do you have to say about your gal pal, Faye Dunaway? Because they kind of like, you know,
they would see each other.
Ian speaks crazy.
Yes.
And she's fluent and crazy. Mm-hmm. And so they are able to converse in the alternate language of the cosmos.
Yes.
And so I asked him, I was like, what do you think about it? He says, oh, honey, he's a Faye Dunaway. Leave it to Faye Dunaway to fuck up the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to make a public statement about this. So this is Ian Bernardo's epic status update.
Doing his accent.
Faye Dunaway, you deliberately embarrassed yourself in front of the reporters. Reporters! So for those of you guys, the young ones who don't get that, Faye Dunaway is also best known for portraying Joan Crawford in the film Mommy Dearest. So no matter who else comes before or after the portrayals of Joan Crawford's in many films, which most recently is in the Baby Jane movie.
Ah, and Feud.
Feud.
So that's not Susan Sarandon's playing Betty Davis. It's the other one.
The lady from American Horror Story.
And
Jessica
also
Lange.
Jessica Lange from King Kong.
Yes. And so she's playing Joan Crawford, but we're like, you're not Faye Dunaway. And so I think think it's great that it happened. I think it actually makes the Oscars much more exciting. Mm-hmm. It gets people talking about the, hopefully talking and definitely going to see a very important film, Moonlight, as well as I think a movie that resonates with a lot of people who are creators and dreamers, as the song goes, for La La Land.
Yeah, I think it'll get more attention because people will just be like, oh, what's Moonlight? It's an art film. But then, like, because it lost to La La Land, but then won, people will talk more about it. And so any kind of hype is going to be good for a film like that.
And, you know, the Oscars was sort of under the grim, depressing, gloomy shadow of President Bannon and his little poodle bitch Trump as they're declaring war, and not just on the media, but people, you know, declaring the war on media is declaring the war on people who ask questions.
The dreamers,
the curious people, the dreamers, the creative people in the world.
Yeah, that's what they want. Because they don't want change. They want to keep things exactly the same.
But they don't want, it's not just about keeping things the same. They also want to keep America depressed. Mm. You know, it's not make America great again. They want to make America dark, gloomy, and sinister, and fearful of each other. So we become more like Russia, and it's the worst parts of Russia they want to happen here. And, you know, there's amazing things that happen at Russia. You know, there's amazing, beautiful people in Russia, too. And Russia is ultimately not your enemy. But right now, the country of Russia and the United States share something in common, is that we've been taken over by oligarchs, by greedy, money-hungry, rotten, awful people who will do anything, including destroy the whole planet that we all live on, just to get temporarily richer for the moment. And as a consequence, Hollywood and the media and everybody who has, you know, two nickels to rub together in their head is very concerned, aggravated, and you know, alarmed by these daily messages of breaking with tradition and attacking people of intelligence and people who ask questions and trying to defund public broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities, trying to destroy public education, both at the elementary and the college level. You know, this is Donald Trump attacking the very core of what makes the United States a country desirable and enviable to the rest of the world. So, of course, at the Oscars, every single person gently or maybe politely reminded the world that was watching that we need to not take things as business as usual and really form a strong resistance.
Well, and that's what I thought was very interesting, is like you had Jimmy Kimmel really poking fun at Donald Trump and taking him to task and, you know, tweeting at him, seeing if he'll tweet back. And Donald had tweeted earlier in the day that he was having a dinner with the governors tonight at the White House, and it's going to be a very busy night, and they're going to be talking, and especially about healthcare, mainly saying, as a way to say, I'm not going to be watching the Oscars. But like every other year, he's watched the Oscars and tweeted insults and tweeted against these people. So I thought it was interesting that most people didn't really call Trump out specifically. Nobody really said his name. You know, we had Gael Garcia
Bernal.
He kind of mentioned
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Okay. And so the guy,
he's the Tom Cruise of Spain. He's a little guy.
He's Mexican.
Oh, from Mexico. Yeah.
And he no quiero the wall.
No quiero la wall.
He's like basically saying, and he called himself an immigrant worker. And yes, you did immigrate from Mexico to the United States to work. So I guess you are an immigrant worker in some senses, you know, but maybe I'm thinking migrant worker. What's the difference between a migrant worker and an immigrant worker?
I got to Google that one.
Because I got to, yeah, like, it's like you're not really out there like pulling up carrots out of the soil or anything like that. But
seen some of his movies? He was pulling up some carrots up his butt. You know what I'm saying?
And so,
y tu mama también.
Well, I think he gave a blowjob or something, right?
He gave a blowjob in that movie, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Just to see if he didn't like it.
Yeah,
you know, it was kind of an awkward sex scene.
Yeah, but they stayed friends in real life, so I guess it was a bonding moment for both of them.
You know, you suck a guy's dick, you become friends with him for the rest of your life.
You know, you always have that.
Mark and I married each other.
It's well, the thing is, like, so he's one of the few that actually like kind of like talked about that kind of stuff. But most people, the negative things. But most people, when they got up there, they talked about more positive things. They were celebrating diversity. They were celebrating the freedoms that were here in America, and that what they wanted to do is to create an idea and showcase what they can do to inspire young people, especially like the people from Moonlight. Like, we wanted to inspire young queer people of color to have some identity, to see something, to be like, hey, we are here. We are recognized. We can contribute. We have something to offer.
Let's talk about the two films that neck and neck, but ultimately Moonlight won. First, let's talk about La La Land, mm-hmm. who dedicates, it's a love story, not just to people who desperately move to Los Angeles in search of a career in entertainment.
Desperately. And you have to say Hollywood, like our friend Devin Green says, Hollywood.
Hollywood.
No, you have to just, every time you say it, you have to whisper it.
Hollywood. I really like the lyrics of the you know, main song. It's called the Audition, The Fools Who Dream. And it's like, here's to the ones who dream.
Aww.
Foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that ache. Here's to the mess we make. Because for Mark and I,
City of Stars,
we've been for 13 years dedicating our lives and putting ourselves in economic peril to do this podcast, to entertain people we may never meet, to become friends and win hearts and expand minds to people all around the world, to anybody who will listen.
Moving things forward, folks.
And in some ways it's a passion. It's also a responsibility for us, for the audience that we connect with. And it's also something that happens because of you guys who contribute financially, who share the program with your friends, who comment on our status updates on our blog. For those of you guys who are out there, the message of La La Land is to reward and to pay tribute to people who make messes of their lives in pursuing creative endeavors like you and I do.
Yeah, and you can help us continue this mess of a podcast by visiting feastoffun.com/donate, make a contribution, or become a Plus member. If you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus. Or if you are a member and it expired and you're having a hard time resubscribing, please let me know. Just email me at mail@feastoffun and we can clear that out. And I want to remind people the power of podcasts too. And Fausto doesn't like his name, but I'm going to tell you, Milo was taken down because of a podcast. A little girl in Canada, 14-year-old, like 16-year-old teenage girl, found like a podcast that he did years ago and recalled it. And that's the whole allegation where he's like, oh, I love giving blowjobs or getting blowjobs from priests.
He was bragging about sex with priests.
That came from a podcast. So one of the biggest internet trolls were taken down by a podcast. And someday I want to take down an internet troll. And together we can make this happen.
I think we did that once.
Oh, we did. We did.
That was with GLAAD.
Yes.
Who at this point is persona non grata in the terms of LGBT activism.
Well,
at one point in time, they were a very important nonprofit organization who really advocated for equal airtime and realistic portrayals of LGBT people in the media and entertainment.
Right.
And sometimes they lost their way. And they became basically an organization for people to rub shoulders with celebrities. And they still do amazing work in grassroots activism and in education. But sometimes it gets overshadowed, sometimes it gets co-opted by rich corporations who are sort of tweaking this unsuspecting civil rights group to acting against their own best interests.
Right.
So when T-Mobile and AT&T were trying to merge together to create a super evil, nasty corporation, trying to destroy the internet, trying to destroy free speech, which obviously affects LGBT people, we were able to interview the head.
He was the head. And then like a couple days later, he was no longer the head. And so what happened was they basically wrote GLAAD a check for $25,000, and they wrote a letter saying that they endorse this merger, which would basically get rid of net neutrality in some ways. It was a huge infringement on net neutrality. And that's something this podcast, you guys out there, you need this so that you can get your information, you can get your entertainment, your music, your communications, you can make your things and not have to pay a service fee. And so, you know, especially us queer people, we have all connected so well through the medium of the internet, whether it's, you know, your hookup apps, your chat rooms in those places, we've really found each other. And I think that that's one of our greatest tools for liberation. And here was this company or this organization that's like, you know, saying, forget about it.
Yeah, it was all disposable. Yeah.
So anyway, that's La La the power Land. Of podcasts.
And La La Land, I think, you know, is about the fools who dream, as crazy as they may seem, the heart that breaks to the mess we make. Because you and I, you know, our relationship has gone through so many challenges, to so many celebrations, so much heartaches, so much lovely, wonderful, beautiful times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we've been thankful to be able to share it with a lot of people mm-hmm. who listen to the show.
And stay together, unlike, yeah. you know, the people in La La Land.
Yeah, and that's one thing that bothered me about La La Land was they kind of couldn't... The film wanted to pay tribute to Love. People who couldn't make it work, but still pursued their dreams, you know? Because that's something you and I sometimes were like, are we going to stay together in a relationship? Because we fight so much sometimes in disagreeing on a project that we're working. We're working on Cooking with Drag Queens on a new episode. And Mark and I are like sometimes at each other's necks, arguing over frosting. I'm not kidding you. We're having this major battle.
It's Gordon Ramsay kitchen nightmare up in here sometimes.
Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. Over royal frost icing. And so
don't worry, I'll win.
And part of it is like, there's a lot of moving pieces to something like Cooking with Drag Queens. And it's a project that, lives by on a shoestring budget, and that budget is, run empty, but we will continue to try to produce, videos. And as best as we can, mm-hmm. we may do another Kickstarter to make it continue, but it's definitely a very, very difficult series to produce. It's not just an interview. It's also a cooking show with real food mm-hmm. and real ingredients, and things can catch on fire and people can get burned and drag queens can be humiliated. And all of it is to, you know, introduce some exciting new queens, to get to know people better, and to make some delicious meals in a chill, fun environment. And that's what, to me, La La Land is all about. Mm-hmm. All about. What about Moonlight, who actually won the Best Picture Oscar? What does that movie mean to you?
It won Best Picture. It also won Best Supporting Actor for Mahershala Ali, and then Adapted Screenplay.
And also, Mahershala Ali won the most difficult name to pronounce this year.
I should have practiced it. I'm sorry. I was taken by surprise.
Try it.
Mahershala.
Mahershala.
Yeah, and so also it won for...
Mahershala name is hard to pronounce.
It also won for Adapted Screenplay. Terrell Alvin McCraney had a play, Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue. And I guess I didn't realize he was a Chicago guy, so I checked my email. I'm like, I hope we didn't get an email from him and I ignored it or something like that. Because, you know, it's happened to more than one celebrity.
Lady Gaga. We passed on Lady Gaga. We passed on Katy Perry. We're like,
well, we got a little too late. We were
ready to do Katy Perry. We were a week late for Katy Perry.
Then there were some other ones too. So I did check, and I have gotten some press releases, but it was all related to like Steppenwolf things. So he was somebody at Steppenwolf.
But Moonlight is a movie that traces its origins and creation to here to Chicago, which Trump calls the most dangerous city in the world.
Wow.
We are more wild than Moscow mm-hmm. mule at Moscow mm-hmm. in Russia.
Well, we're a very stronghold of Democrats and have been for a very long time. And so for the conservative right, if you go onto a lot of their blogs and things, they're always talking about like Chicago, how it's dangerous and there's problems here and da da da. And then, you know, it's corrupt. It's corruption here. And yeah, there is corruption here. But I got to tell you, yeah, our news media, when they find it, they call it out. And there's places in this country where just the corruption happens and nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. But we publicize the shit out of it.
As Karen Finley said in the 90s, ooh, and nothing happens. But here in Chicago, Blagojevich, he's in jail. Mm-hmm. He ain't no brunette now. He's a silver hair.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, I was waiting for the bus to go to work, and there was this older kind of silver hot foxy daddy. And he was like, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. No. And I'm just like, well, you got to take the, 252 down to 368 mm-hmm. and get cross over there. And I was giving him all these directions, and I asked him, was like, oh, what are you doing later tonight? And he's like, well, I'm going to go to the country club to play some tennis. I was like, well, that's fun. Are you going to watch the Oscars? And he was just like, hell no. I feel like the Oscars are too political.
That means he's a Trump supporter then.
And I was just like, and I was like, I thought this, I read this guy as gay, I think he was gay. And I said to him, well, the Oscars are about celebrating movies, and movies come in all shapes and colors and all flavors and sizes. Mm-hmm. And movies are about life, and life is about politics too. And he's just like, I just feel that they should give our president a fair chance.
Ugh.
Liberal media. And he starts spewing all this stuff, and he gets on the bus and, and he just screaming out the window at me.
I feel sorry for him.
I feel sorry. You know what? I try to give him love and send him on his way. Mm-hmm. And I hope that his tennis game at his country club mm-hmm. was good, and that he finds
a nice blow job in the steam room.
Finds a sex that he's looking for.
I just feel
bad.
I feel like a lot of these people, they're just kind of disconnected from humanity, and they don't have like loving relationships. And they're just kind of like, I've worked so much for myself. Everybody else has to work for myself. And like, society doesn't work that way. We work together.
Like Caitlyn Jenner. Right. She was like, I got some crosswords for President Trump. I don't know why I sound like my mother when imitating Caitlyn Jenner. But
no, yeah, she does a Yankee. She
She sounds kind of like a the chicken lady from the kids in the hall. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a little bit Yankee-ish. Sure.
Oh, yeah. I just laid an egg.
Would you like an omelet right out of my womb and onto your plate?
T.S. Madison
mm-hmm.
Read her to filth on her page. Mm. And she is like just vicious and mean. She was not holding back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of trans people are just like, oh, so Trump's racism, Trump's discrimination, sexism, bragging about, grabbing them by the pussy. None of that bothered you. Mm-hmm. But now the fact that Trump takes away all these protections for trans students.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's be careful when you say that. I did a whole bathtub video the other day, and you guys can check it out. I'm recommending that to you because I had a trans friend call me today and say that they watched it and they thought it was really good and it was an important message. And you totally get it. Because what happened, I'll tell you a little bit. I'll give you the rundown. Basically, I had stomach flu this past few days, right?
You were sick.
I was really sick. Thankfully, it was only out of one end, the bottom end. And it was like, it was pretty bad. And so I was kind of like, I was stuck in the house, and I wanted to go to some of the protests that happened this weekend, but I couldn't go because I was like, what if I can't find a bathroom?
Then you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. And then I'd be shitting my pants. And I'm just like, and so this is kind of like what some people go through, not all trans people, because some trans people, the bathroom issue is not a big issue to them. It's just not. And to other people, it's a huge issue because it's about your safety and it's about your convenience, because it's like, what if I were out there and had to take go to the bathroom? What am I going to do? And so it was like, I was feeling the pain. The thing about it, though, is Obama's guidance, and this is part of the reason why Trump took it away, is because it was a guidance explaining the laws that are already on the books, right? As saying, like, we feel that this law or this guidance is here because this law could be interpreted this way. And so this is actually going in front of the Supreme Court because, Gavin is going in front of the Supreme Court trying to, they're going to figure out this case. Well, this guidance that Obama wrote, and remember, he's a constitutional lawyer, pretty much spells this out. So I think that the Supreme Court is going to have to side with the students.
All right. Gavin is the college student who's suing.
Yeah, I think I got his name right. And so the
he's trans.
And so that's why Trump rescinded it, because he knows it's going before the Supreme Court anyway. So he can act like he's doing something when in fact he's not going to do anything at all. And then he can get mad at the Supreme Court.
If you see anybody waving a rainbow flag, wasn't he waving it upside down?
I think so, yeah.
With the LGBTs for Trump scribbled in this gross Sharpie, like it was written by a person who had a stroke or something. It was just, you know, disturbing. So yeah, the Oscars have always been about life, and life is about politics. Mm-hmm. So the Oscars are going to be talking about politics, as long as movies are about life, and movies will have to do with politics.
And I was very excited to see. I was like, I had to Google it, because I'm like, why is everybody wearing these blue ribbons? What's that? And it was blue ribbons to support the ACLU, because people are like, this is where we're at. You know, we realize, like, we have to fight this government in the court. We still have many judges on the side of right. You know, he hasn't appointed that many yet. And so we'll see what happens with that. And then, of course, we also saw some AIDS ribbons, too.
The baby blue, in terms of the gay hanky code, is somebody who likes to give blowjobs. So, be careful where you put the ribbon.
Now, say this with me, because it's hard to imagine this. Oscar award winning film Suicide Squad. It was Suicide Squad, which is like the anti-heroes from the DC universe.
Which everybody thought was a terrible film.
Most people really absolutely hated it. It actually won an Oscar for makeup and hairstyling.
Well, they got to give it to somebody.
Yeah, somebody's got to win. And of course, the In Memoriam, as I like to call it, the Bring Out Your Dead.
Bring out your dead.
I kind of Fausto and I both kind of gasped a little bit when we saw Nancy Davis Reagan, the late former first lady. She died this year.
Yeah, and I was looking at it and I was like, Nancy Reagan is dead?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because Hillary Clinton was bragging about how she saved and cured AIDS. I think that's what cost one of the reasons why Hillary didn't win was her bragging about Nancy Reagan's amazing thing with AIDS.
She didn't realize she misspoke, and I don't think it was that. I think it was really, this gerrymandering has just done us. And then those FBI emails, those are the two things.
Did it help Hillary Clinton? No, it did not.
No, but it was a way to talk about, and I think it was good that she did it, in the sense that it was a great way to be like, oh, no, she didn't. You know, because if she had just been like, she was wonderful, she helped, this kind of thing, people would be like, she was terrible with AIDS, you know, and then people would have not forgotten about it, because Hillary Clinton said she was great on it. It kind of made it an issue.
Patty Duke, who is known for the movie Parent Trap, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Patty Duke Show. Confusing one.
Valley of the Dolls.
Twins. No, well, the twin. She had the hot dog makes her lose control.
Yes. And
the
hot dog makes me lose control, too.
And then in the Valley of the Dolls, she's the one who tortures the old Broadway legend. Mm-hmm, but Broadway doesn't go for booze or dope.
And I think that the image they showed of her may have been from Valley of Dolls, or at least it was from that time period.
I think Patty Duke's greatest artistic contribution is the film Valley of the Dolls.
Well, there was also The Miracle Worker when she
I'd rather do Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah, of course, you know. And of course they showed Gene Wilder, which was kind of interesting too, is like they talked to a lot of people and asked them like what movies inspired them. And they would show clips of the movies. And one guy was like, well, the movie that I really loved so much was Young Frankenstein. And then they showed a clip of Gene Wilder going, it's Frankenstein. And everybody was laughing.
Yeah, Gene Wilder also was known for playing Willy Wonka in the film adaptation Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? That's the full title of the book.
So, yeah. Oh, well, the book is called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but the film is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, because it's more fun. Sound.
And Roald Dahl was pissed off they cast Gene Wilder.
Really? Why?
Because he wanted a British actor.
Oh.
And Gene Wilder was a yank.
Hmm.
And he imagined Willy Wonka as this British person, you know. And so they didn't touch the, because they were supposed to do a sequel and everything. Mm-hmm. They didn't touch it until Roald Dahl died. And that's when what's his name got a hold of it with the guy who blank out name. Tim Burton got a hold of it.
A remake.
And was able to do a remake.
Oh, I had no idea.
But they've always had a problem with those Oompa Loompas because those Roompa Loompas are racist characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book, they were African, weren't they, or something?
I think they may have been pygmies. I'm not sure if they specify where they found them, but they have drawings and they were
blackface characters, weren't they?
Questionable.
Let's make them orange, and someday we'll have an orange president.
Now we have an Oompa Loompa for president.
An oversized one. And then, of course, they showed Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, and she kind of closed it, and they said, "And may the force be with you."
I got to tell you, when you do a podcast and you get to interview people, you really, in some ways, get to spend a brief moment in time getting to know the spirit of that person. And we've had the pleasure and the honor of meeting some extraordinary people in the past 13 years. And certainly Debbie Reynolds is somebody that has been probably one of our top five most incredible guests on this podcast.
Golden era.
Well,
actress,
not just because she was a great actress and she was involved in such iconic films as Singing in the Rain, but because Debbie Reynolds loved Hollywood. And she collected all this great memorabilia. Like, she had, Marilyn Monroe's dress from the 7-Year Itch that, where the hot air blows up and she's like, "Ooh, I'm so horny." I'm not sure what she says, but Debbie Reynolds collected all this great Hollywood memorabilia, and we have it because of her. And what a lot of people don't realize is that her daughter, Carrie Fisher, was somebody who not just made Star Wars great as an actress, but behind the scenes as a screenwriter, as a script puncher. Mm-hmm. She wrote a lot of jokes and a lot of sassy dialogue that made the original Star Wars films really amazing. And especially an Empire Strikes Back. A lot of that great dialogue between Princess Leia and Han Solo came because of Carrie Fisher.
She's like, "This script needs help."
And throughout her life, she worked on so many projects that she may not even get credit for. She was one of Hollywood's top script doctors. Mm-hmm. So it was very fitting. And we got to do a press junket with her where she went up to me and grabbed me by the arm. And because we were remembered of a moment where she and Barbara Streisand broke into the set of Indiana Jones.
And we're whipping
Harrison Ford.
As he was tied up.
And Barbara Streisand saying, "This is for all the money you're going to be making from the Indiana Jones franchise.
You faggot."
She's screaming and calling him a faggot.
One of them did. Yeah, I forget which one.
I think it was Carrie Fisher was screaming. And it was hilarious. And we brought that up to her. And she's like, I don't remember, but I'm sure I said it.
She used to do a lot of drugs. And she would also get, her mind pretty much erased every 6 months. From electroshock therapy, but I think she stopped doing that after a while.
So we had a real connection, and she grabbed my arm, and she's like, "I love this man." And, her publicist wouldn't let us interview her, which was a devastating, decision. But, throughout my life and since then, I always saw Carrie Fisher on interviews just having this really, sassy, intelligent, funny demeanor, and at the same time a genuine love for people and just for everyday people. Like, she would put her arm around people and just become their friend. And to me, I thought that was an extraordinary gift to be able to give to the world for somebody who had this incredible life. This is Princess Leia. This is one of Hollywood's top script doctors. She is the daughter of Hollywood royalty, of Debbie Reynolds in Hollywood's golden age. Everybody knows Carrie Fisher. And here she is, rubbing shoulders with Joe Schmo and being one of the people. And despite sometimes her life falling apart, she still found time to give back to the world.
You know, what's interesting about the in memoriam category is sometimes there's like kind of like a cutoff, like they died like too soon, so we can't put them in the in memoriam. But this
I
year,
I think that's unfair.
Yeah, and I think this year it was very interesting that Jennifer Aniston, when she came out to announce, you know, the category and that they're going to do this, mentioned Bill Paxton and saying that, you know, we just recently lost a good friend, because I don't remember them ever really kind of doing that before. And so it was interesting to see, and she was seemed to like visually like shook up about it.
Somebody needs to tell the Academy Awards and the Oscars about Final Cut Pro, because you can create a slideshow in seconds, honey. If you can add Bill Paxton's name and a photo of him into the slideshow.
And it would have been really great if he was like, game over, man. Because sometimes they do little quotes from it.
That was from Aliens.
From Aliens, yeah. But my favorite quote of his is from the movie when he played Chet. He was one of the kids from Weird Science, the older brother.
He was the bully.
He was the bully older brother, but he was real cute because he was like a like, you know, probably only like in his early 20s in that role, and he's just like, how about a nice and greased pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? Threaten one of the kids. We used to love saying that.
What does it mean?
I don't know. It was just something gross.
Oh, it's like his way of like
grossing people up.
Before we stop talking about the Oscars, Gary Allen Coe, he was, I guess that they got a bunch of tourists and they surprised them by having them walk right into the front row of the Oscars. And Gary Allen Coe from Chicago and his fiancee, Vicky.
Yeah.
We're all just kind of dazzled, and they were like, and almost a little bit shocked. He was holding his phone and he's like, oh my God, these are celebrities. And so Jimmy Kimmel turns to Vicky and says, who's your favorite actor? And she's like, that one right there. And she's pointing to Denzel Washington. And you know, Vicky liked Denzel Washington.
Oh, yes, she did. Of course. Of
Paula
course.
Poundstone's favorite actor is Denzel Washington.
Very hot for that one.
She said, even though she's asexual, she said she'd break her asexuality on this podcast for Denzel Washington. So Denzel Washington, he looked like he was not having any of it. He stands up and they're like, will you guys marry us? You know? And so Vicky and Gary Allen Coe pose for this amazing photo where Denzel Washington says, do you guys take each other? Yeah. Now kiss. Now let me sit down.
He's like, I'm done. Where's my Oscar? Where's my Oscar?
Yeah. Well, Denzel didn't get one.
No. And what the meme that's going around now is Ryan Gosling, like kind of like, I don't know if
he's whispering.
He's whispering, or almost looks like he's kissing into Vicky's ear. And so people are taking,
and she has this very shocked look on her face.
And she's holding a selfie. And so people are kind of like, they're writing their own little like lines underneath. And one of them, it's really funny. It says, so he's whispering this into her ear, supposedly. Hampton Inn, LAX, room 117. I'm slipping the card in your pocket now. Don't react.
I also like Jar Jar Binks is the best Star Wars character.
And Gosling always, I save jazz music.
And the most disturbing one is, I voted for Trump.
And it was really great to see, Emma Stone really deserved Best Actress for getting, you know, for La La Land. I think she was phenomenal. It was really great that she gets up there and she pays tribute to all the people, you know,
all the dreamers, you know, all the messes we make,
and the actresses that she was in the same category with. And she says, it's been an honor to stand beside you, but it's even a bigger honor to stand above you.
She didn't really say that.
She didn't really say the last part.
But she was thinking it. You know. Gael Garcia Bernal. I wish he was a pocket gay.
What do you mean you wish he was?
Well, because he identifies as heterosexual. Oh, yeah. Even though, you know, actors are a little bit, you know, loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm.
Where's my little loosey-goosey?
What'd you think of the ads this year? Because it's kind of...
Lots of YouTube, lots of Google.
Yeah, I saw Gigi Gorgeous. They had a whole ad for her documentary on, you know, her transition and her life. She has you have to subscribe to Google or YouTube Red, I think, to actually watch it.
Yeah, we actually get a subscription to that, but...
Yeah.
That's when actually we pay for that subscription, but it's totally worth it, you know.
Yeah, because you don't have to see ads.
Yeah, because there's just like fucking ads,
you know, goddamn it, ads.
But I don't know if the YouTube ads,
but if you see ads, you know, on our videos, click on them.
Yeah,
make
man,
sure you click on them,
click away, you
know? But I thought it was and then Google did some ads too, and I thought it was interesting they did an ad for the Google Photos, and the last photo, because you know they have like this mosaic of photos, and the last one is a gay wedding.
Like, I know. Yeah. It wasn't our gay wedding on YouTube, yeah. though.
And Cadillac, you know, the car company celebrated diversity, too. And they even had, you know, they had pictures of Muhammad Ali with his Cadillac and, you know, really talked about freedom and diversity. And so that was kind of a reoccurring theme through this Oscars.
Muhammad Ali Jr., the son of the great boxing legend Muhammad Ali, was returning from Jamaica on vacation with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
What else is he gonna? If you got, you know, Muhammad Ali money, you're gonna be going on vacation sometimes, right? And he's at the airport coming back from Jamaica, and they're like, "What is this Muhammad Ali name? Who are you? It sounds Arabic." Mm-hmm. He was detained for 2 hours because his mother was able to show a photo of her with Muhammad Ali, but because his son, who actually looks like him, wasn't able to produce a photo of him with his father. They detained him for 2 hours. This is an American citizen.
With a passport.
With a passport. This is the son of a famous icon, an American hero.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving him shit at the airport.
It's an embarrassment.
If you have Fausto Fernos sounds Arabic. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to travel out of the country myself. You know, I have a brother named Omar. That's an Arabic name.
It is.
I'm freak out. When 9/11 happened, I was just driving around my neighborhood. A police officer in my own neighborhood pulled me over and looked at me suspiciously. And I just looked at the officer and I said, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you." But it was really disturbing. And I just imagine what people of Middle Eastern, of Arabic origins who are dealing with this all around our country as they're trying to fly in and out of the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of people around the world are just not coming to the United States because of Trump. It is wiping out our tourism.
Yeah, the tourism business is to say we're going to lose billions and billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah.
We can't afford to have 4 years of Trump. We're going to go broke.
Something's got to change. Something's got to change. You know, maybe some things are changing in society. TLC has a new show out here. I just part of me is like, I can't believe they're doing it. But if anybody's going to do it, I guess it's going to be TLC. And it's called Brother Husbands.
Okay.
And it is about these two Christian guys. They work at the same church, right? Mm-hmm. And they become friends. The one guy's already married. He has his wife was Amanda. She was 18 when they got married. He was 21. And together they have two sons, Atreyu and Cassian. And Atreyu's the avatar.
That's the character from Neverending Story.
Yeah, the avatar of the boy reading the book, yes. Right?
Who's Sebastian.
Sebastian, yeah.
Who's also a trans icon.
Mm-hmm.
Because his to transition into your gender is a never-ending story.
There you go.
As the song says, "Look into the mirror and tell me what you see. In her face, the mirror of your dreams." And basically,
and then
the song
fogs come through,
and it's a never-ending story.
And so that's a trailer. And so anyway, they meet this guy, and he works at the house at the church with him. And his name's so it's Chad and Jeremy are the two dudes working at the church. And one day, the one guy says to the other guy, he goes, "You know what? I feel like I'm in love with your wife." And he's like, at first, he's like, "Well, that's kind of weird, but, you know, let's see what we can do about this." And so they ended up like having a three-way relationship. And so one night she sleeps with the one dude. The next night she sleeps with the other guy. And then on the third night, they all sleep together.
And the dicks touch each other.
I don't know what's going on in that bed, but they're like, they're Christian, you know, polyamorous.
And it's so, not gay if it's a three-way, though, right. As Justin Timberlake sang on Saturday Night Live.
And so, you know, she's got two kids from the first guy that she was married to. And then she got pregnant with triplets. I mean, that's a lot. So I wonder if she took some juice, because triplets, you know, sometimes can be hard to...
Oh, she was on the performance enhancing drugs, and the performance was getting knocked up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it just, you know, triplets are pretty rare, but I guess they're not that unusual. And so
I think triplets is when you have four fertilized and one of them gobbles up the other one. That's how you have an odd number.
No. That's
yeah. I think that's
no.
The
you
thing.
Can have three eggs released, and so they can all be fraternal. Or you can have two identical.
Okay.
And one
tertiary
and one extra. And I think you might even, I wonder if you can even get like another one to divide. I don't know. So
I'll just say, like, I'd be scared of the mm-hmm. one child that's a little bit bigger mm-hmm. than the other ones and yeah. eats more slices of cake mm-hmm. at the birthday party. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And so the other kids, they didn't know, like, for the longest time, like, who was the father, because they were mm-hmm. just like, we're going to raise it. But I guess eventually they did do a DNA test. And it's the second guy. He's the father of those kids.
Oh, and he's a hipster husband too.
They look like hipsters. That's the thing about it.
They have like wax mustaches and, you know, collect
white
record
sunglasses,
albums.
Like colored hair. They look like they make pickles on the weekend and they drink microbrews, those kinds of stuff.
Well, you and I make pickles on the weekend. And
honey, we were hipsters before hipsters were hipsters.
Yeah, I embrace the term hipster. Mm-hmm. I am proud to be a hipster.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make that as a t-shirt.
Don't dog that.
No, it's making you embarrassed or associating with, you know, people who are artistic, who are interested in culture and cool old stuff, or people who like to brag. Even they're like, I was into podcasting before everybody else was into podcasting, which yeah? I can brag about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it part of it is like. That's about looking down at people who are the dreamers, the creators, the La La Landers,
the lovers, the sailors,
the yeah. Are we saying the Rainbow Connection? Yeah,
they're kind of they're very similar, aren't they? They're similar.
Somebody La La Land had nothing new to say.
Do the mashup.
La La Land is a fraud, and that's why they gave it to Moonlight. I'm just kidding.
I guess Elton John, like every year, he has a charity auction in WeHo.
Yeah, so I have to have a party for the Oscars.
Yeah, for the Oscars. I guess like right after Warren Beatty screwed everything up, he was just like, oh, thank God we didn't have him working our auction.
Yay.
Yay.
Now, again, Warren Beatty did not screw that up. He looked at the card and said, this is probably wrong because it said Emma Watson, yeah. Right?
Right. It said actress Emma Stone, like La La.
Emma Stone.
And, yeah. And so then he just showed it to her and he, listen, she's a loose cannon.
Faye Dunaway intentionally fucked it up.
You know?
Yes.
No, I don't think she intentionally fucked up. I don't think she didn't read it.
Here's a third theory.
What's that?
Jimmy Kimmel loves to play pranks.
Mm.
And he might have just been like, accidentally, whoops, giving them
the
wrong envelope.
Steve Harvey got a lot of them. He's not the one handing out the envelope.
Yeah, but he might have been like, here's $100, give them this envelope and see what that happens.
Mm.
And you know what? Chaos ensued. Mm. And you know, Faye Dunaway, she's crazy and, you know, embarrass me in front of the media. Not in front of the media. Donald Trump is not going to be going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
What a big pussy.
A tradition that's happened since...
I think it's been
Woodrow
like 30...
Wilson.
Since 36 years was the last time a president didn't go, and I don't even know why they didn't go.
They went because of a national crisis.
Yeah.
The two times they haven't done it is because war broke out. So, you know, otherwise, it's happened for... I mean, since we all been alive... And Donald Trump is such a coward. I don't know what else best to describe him. He's, you know, a coward to Bannon. He's a coward to Russia. He's a coward to Nazis and to Ku Klux Klan and racists. And he's just somebody who can't read, who is a, you know, he wanted to be a celebrity. He got himself in the movie Home Alone, Lost in Manhattan. Remember that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Republicans like to look down upon, you know, saying it's like, oh, Obama was the celebrity president. Bitch, it's like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was trying to get into Hollywood. He's on television. He had a TV show. He's a reality TV star. Mm-hmm.
So the last time a president didn't do it was Ronald Reagan, and he had just been shot. But he did phone into the event, and he said, if I could give you just one little piece of advice, when somebody tells you to get into a car quick, do it. Well, and so, you know, for Donald, it's a couple of things. He doesn't want to be humiliated because he will be the butt of every joke, and he knows it. Number two is, you know, this is a chance for the correspondents and the people that come to the White House to kind of, like, get along and show that there's some kind of cooperation and transparency. And that's he has said to the American public that the media is the enemy. So for him to be there, it would be as though he's, like, hanging out with the enemy.
And
but maybe he's also saying, you know what? I probably won't be in office then. So what does it matter?
When is the White House correspondents
it's in
dinner?
April.
So he might be,
who knows,
kicked out. I don't know. It's like if the Republicans are not willing to take any action and they're in charge right now, there is no hope for unless we, you know, can we even wait till November, the next November elections? Can we even vote out the Republicans in control out of the Senate or the House? I don't think we can. It's really a dangerous, disturbing, and scary precedent. So thank you, Faye Dunaway, for distracting us, you know, for making the Oscars or something
making
about
them great again.
Making them great again.
Before we finish, and we're going to finish up real quick here, is like, the set design was just so gorgeous tonight, wasn't it?
And it was, if you notice in the background, for people who are aware of the art history of patterns, there was a lot of tribute to Arabic design.
Indian, Chinese.
Yeah, Asian. There's definitely, you know, the crescent moon. That's a symbol of Muslim flags.
They love that crescent. What is it about the crescent moon that they love so much?
It's the, you
it
know,
must have some kind of religious
fertile
connotation.
Crescent, honey. It's like, you know.
Oh, you think it looks like a vajayjay?
No, it's a, you know, the fertile crescent. It's where the, you know, the Arabic world, these countries, is the cradle of civilization. Mm. I'm not sure exactly the crescent in terms of the meaning to their religion, but,
I'll Google it after the podcast,
but you can Google it, people. Yeah. But there was you know, people, like, I'm a big fan of MC Escher, and MC Escher for some time, spent traveling Spain and studying the patterns, interlocking patterns in mosques. Most famously the one in Alhambra. And as a teenager and as a college student, I would sort of like draw and study M.C. Escher's work. Yeah. So I was, as soon as I saw that in the background, I was like, that's a pattern from the mosque in Alhambra.
Oh, yeah. Mozarabic design, they call it.
Yeah. And so I was just like, ooh, some set designer was like, take that, Trumpensies.
Anyway, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
We want to thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast.
It's our 13th Oscar show. Did you know that?
13th Oscar cast.
Yeah.
For a while, we owned the domain oscarcast.com, but we're like,
nobody cares.
Let somebody have it.
That was cast this, cast that. And then people, it's not a cast. You know.
It's like, what? Did I break an arm? That's for theater people.
So tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about how to bag a straight guy, right?
I think so. Yeah. So it's there's a couple
some new
of things
theories out there, and yeah,
there's a couple of things happening, right? The Centers for the Disease Control spend a lot of money and energy trying to stop disease. That's the point. And one of the diseases that spread around a lot is STIs, sexually transmitted infections. And so they look and try to understand humanity's sexual identities and their activities. And what they've discovered is that the way people identify doesn't always match up with what they're doing, who they do and what they do. Mm-hmm. And so a vast majority of Americans and people all around the world have same-sex relationships of some kind or another, but don't necessarily identify as gay or lesbian or even bisexual. And so,
or they may identify privately, but they don't have to in any way suggest that to the outside world.
And so there's a shocking new study that you're going to be blown away.
And with these 13 words, if you put them together right, you can.
So
that's a spam.
So there's that aspect of it. And there's another aspect to this is that, first, you know, as gay men who identify as gay, who are desire sex with other men, we live in a society that oppresses us sometimes, that denies us that same-sex affection and experience.
Go see Moonlight.
Go see Moonlight. And as a consequence of it, I think we may have irrational or unrealistic expectations, or we tend to fetishize heterosexual men or straight acting men. So you see that in those hookup apps or in the profiles. It's like, I'm only looking for straight acting. And I'm like, excuse me, if you're looking for dick, if you're obsessed with your appearance, that's not very straight acting to me. So as a consequence of that, there's a lot of spammy videos on YouTube. And in the next 60 minutes, we're going to give you the most amazing moments of how you can have sex with a straight guy on Feast of Fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And then later in the week, we're going to be busy taping a very secret episode of Cooking with Drag Queens, a Beauty and the Beast themed episode where we're going to tame the beast and bring out the beauty.
Yes, Godnessa.
Yes. And if the flower petals fall from the rose, you'll look like that drag queen for the rest of your life. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye bye. Mm-hmm.